Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang, and this is episode number 272. As part of our Smithsonian Associates Art of Living series, we're joined today by author, chef, columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, Nick Sharma, who'll be discussing his new book, Season, Big Flavors, Beautiful Food. What a pleasure it is for me to be talking with Chef Nick Sharma today. When Nick Sharma immigrated from Bombay, India to the United States at 21, he quickly learned to adapt his traditional Indian dishes to the new flavors he experienced in the Midwest. When he married a Southerner, the flavors of the American South became a part of his recipes as well. Now, a Sunday columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, whose own distinctive photography illustrates his recipes, Nick Sharma has collected his globally influenced approach to eating in his first book, Season, Big Flavors, Beautiful Food.
So we're going to talk about the book, kind of what motivated me to write the book, why I wrote the book, what's in the book. And it's also the story, like I say in the book, it's actually the story of what it was for me to move to America. But I'm also kind of tying the ends. This is America and I grew up in India, but this is how I cook and this is how I eat. It's not traditional, but it is what it is. And it has a place in the world.
That, of course, is my guest today, Nick Sharma, whose first book, Season, Big Flavors, Beautiful Food, and who will be appearing at the Smithsonian Associates Program October 11th, 2018 at the Ripley Center in Washington, D.C. For more information and tickets, please check out our website, but please join me in welcoming today to the Not Old Better Show, Nick Sharma. Nick Sharma, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul. It's nice to be here today.
It's great to talk to you. I'm excited about the presentation for the Smithsonian Associates coming up Thursday, October 11th. This will be really great. It's certainly on the heels of your new book, Season, Big Flavors, Beautiful Food, which is going to be available for sale and signing at the Smithsonian Associates presentation. It's got some great recipes in it, and it's also got just these gorgeous photographs. And I know you've taken the picture. Now, have you taken all the pictures in the book?
I did, except for the one that's on the in the front of the book, where my dog and my parents are included. My dad took the two of those, and I don't remember who took the photo of me and my husband together. It's in the dedication, but the rest is all me. Yeah.
Yeah, and I love them, and I understand in my research of you that taking some of the pictures, at least for your blog, A Brown Table, became a little bit of an issue. So maybe tell us about what happened and the result today. I read a couple things about you. I just thought that was really important to kind of to kick off with.
Sure. Yeah. I think one of the things when you start something out, especially something that you are passionate about, you are also at the same time discovering yourself and trying to learn who you are, how you want to express yourself and what you want to tell people through your work. And food is such an expressive medium for me. And I really wanted to talk about the food that I was cooking, which was different from what it was to be an immigrant and in my own way. And at the same time, I also wanted to talk about food from a visual standpoint because the nature of a blog is so visual. And at the time when I started, my only reference points were what was available in media. So I had magazines, newspapers and TV and computers. And that's what I would look at. And I never saw any, well, at least from what I saw, I never saw anyone that looked or sounded like me in those photos. And so it's not that I didn't like them. I loved them. But it just, I didn't feel connected, if that makes sense. And so I also really love to cook, and I also wanted to showcase the process of cooking. And so what I would do then is that I started to photograph myself cooking during the process and kind of pay homage to some of those little techniques in there that made it so special to me. Maybe like adding sugar to something or folding, you know, like pastry dough together. And those were the things I really wanted to focus on. What happened was at the time, I was also naive. When you walk in, okay, so one of the things that I've learned now is that when you go on into the online world, people are much more vocal about their likes and their dislikes. And so I started initially getting comments about the color of my skin being too dark or too ashy. And it really took me back because never in my life had someone ever brought that up in such a like a direct way that it was, they found it visually detesting, right? And so that made me really uncomfortable. And so I decided to take a step back and say, maybe I just shouldn't do this because maybe A, they're right that I don't really have a place here, because from what I've seen in media already, I haven't seen anybody like me, like even like, you know, like brown skin or dark skin. It's just not a thing. And maybe this, if I live here, maybe it's not a thing. And so I took a break from it, and it took me a while to kind of accept that this is who I am. I can't change it. And I also might not be able to change the opinions of people that don't like it. And that's okay. That burden shouldn't fall upon me. But at the same time, the burden that does fall upon me is for me to believe in myself. And so it took me some time to kind of get out of that state and then, you know, be confident enough to go ahead and say, this is what I really want to do. I'm passionate about this style of photography. This is how I want my work to be known and remembered, you know, once I pass away. And this is me. I'm not going to change for anyone. And I persevered with that attitude. And I said, well, if they don't like me, they can go away. There are like 1,000 other blogs that they could visit or food sites. And, if, you know, I just stayed with what I really wanted to do, the way I wanted my voice to be represented. And I'm lucky that it worked out.
We're lucky too. And we're glad that you persevered. Yeah, absolutely. The photographs are just beautiful, and the book is getting rave reviews. Do you worry at all, though, about intimidating some of us? I'll include myself in this category.
Okay.
that might not be used to cooking with some of these kinds of spices and just this kind of variety, and then maybe what comes from our ultimate cooking results.
Sure, I think one of the So I've been writing now for a really long time and doing recipes. I also write a column now for the San Francisco Chronicle. And so for the past several years, I feel in a way I unconsciously went and trained myself on learning how and understanding what people use in their kitchens. Because I get comments from readers from the newspaper and then my blog readers who come back and say, hey, we couldn't find this, or this is what we can find. So I decided to use, even before I wrote the book, I kind of polled my readers and, you know, paid attention to what they were doing to kind of see, okay, this ingredient now is something that's coming into kitchens quite a bit. And so I think it's time. And I feel one of the things people forget is that a lot of the ingredients that they have in their kitchen are the same ingredients that are being used in Indian kitchens. And I think it's this perception that something is different or doesn't look like you, so we have a fear, right? That's the same thing with, I realized that with me being gay, one of the things was that people don't know me for who I am. Once they meet me, they know me. I'm not that different, right? I have probably the same likes and dislikes as most people. And so I think that was one of the things I realized with food too. Like sometimes things just sound so fearful because you're not familiar with them. And to overcome fear, a thing has to be talked about. So what I did with the book, I decided that I will make everything simple. And I'm also a very lazy cook. So I look for things like in my kitchen, probably the most useful tool in my kitchen is my blender, where if I can toss everything into the blender, make it flavorful, but it's, you know, it's done in a cinch, I am very happy. And so that's the kind of attitude I went with the book with, because I also don't want people spending time taking things from here, taking things from there. And sure, there are sometimes time is important. I think like having patience when you cook is also important. You can't rush everything. Like if you want to mature a pickle or cure something, you have to do it with time, right? You really have to spend time. And so those are things, obviously, you can't compromise on you if you want something to taste good. But when it comes to spices, I think the fear of intimidation, especially in this day and age where globalization has really kind of taken over the world, I think it's made it really exciting. I mean, I see people like my mother-in-law, right? So they live out in the border of Virginia, North Carolina. She is using green cardamom and turmeric, and not because of me in any way. She's just doing it herself, and she'll message me to say, oh, I used this today. So having also now, you know, I go to my in-laws, which do not live, they don't live in a place that's well connected with, you know, like a large city. It's exciting to see that all these ingredients are making their way to people like who are living out in those communities. And so I think that's exciting. It gives, it shows me that people everywhere are excited about exploring taste. And that's what I'm really passionate about, is pursuing flavor, taste, and aroma in my food and making it easy for me and for everyone else. And so that's what I've really tried to do with this book. So I don't think people really need to be scared. Like if you look at some of the ingredients, say like the Bombay frittata, you add a couple of spices in there, and one is a seasoning mix, the garam masala that goes in there. You know, you chop a little bit of cilantro, the onion in there, and then you use ghee, and ghee is made from butter. All you do is you take your butter and you melt it till the water evaporates and, you know, strain out the solids, and that's your ghee. But it has such a different taste because it's been cooked for so long. So I think I've tried to do my best in trying to explain this to people. And so far, with the, you know, I'm really excited just to see that people have been cooking from the book and enjoying it. So that makes me really happy.
Yeah, I would definitely encourage my audience to check out the book, Absolutely Seasoned, Big Flavors, Beautiful Food. We are with Nick Sharma. Nick Sharma will be at the Smithsonian Associates presentation coming up Thursday, October 11th, 2018. And the title of the presentation is Nick Sharma's Table, Spiced by a World of Flavors. So certainly that's a very descriptive title of the for your presentation. The book is chock-a-block full of these beautiful photographs. But maybe tell us briefly about your presentation at Smithsonian Associates that day.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk with Joe Yonan. Joe Yonan is the editor at the Washington Post for the food section. And Joe's been an amazing pillar of support for me for the past couple of years since I've known him. So we're going to talk about the book, kind of what motivated me to write the book, why I wrote the book, what's in the book. And it's also the story, like I say in the book, it's actually the story of what it was for me to move to America. But I'm also kind of tying the ends. This is America and I grew up in India, but this is how I cook and this is how I eat. It's not traditional, but it is what it is. And it has a place in the world. And I think one of the things I really want to celebrate is that I couldn't afford to travel as a kid. And when I moved here again, I couldn't because I was in grad school. We didn't make a lot of money. But America was the country where I learned a lot about food because we have such a diverse population of people from all over the world. And if you can't afford to travel, there are places that you could go and learn about different cultures. And that's through food. And that's what I did. That was my plane ticket, if you could say, to the world.
Well, we are looking forward to seeing you on October 11th. I know you're very busy, Nick Sharma, with the release of your book. I just have one final question, and you refer to your blog, A Brown Table, and it was really, I just am going to encourage my audience to check the Brown Table blog out. We'll put links up, but
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's worth checking out. I thought one of the most interesting stories about you was this rather, I'll refer to it as circuitous, but maybe it was just, you know, just kind of a path of realization and understanding. And I know that culinary school wasn't necessarily part of your history. Now it's a goal. But many in my audience are thinking about their second acts and what they're going to do next with their lives. But you've really very effectively pivoted. Tell us a little bit about that kind of change in direction and that pivot and what it's meant to you.
I think one of the things for me was it felt natural, but it felt natural because I was passionate about it. I don't think I mean, when I was in science, yes, I was excited to be in science. I was excited about the research, but I was never as passionate as I was about food. So I've never second-guessed myself in the career path when I took food, but it wasn't like you said, like it didn't happen overnight, and that's what you're alluding to. I started out in science, and before that, I wanted to go to culinary school, but it just wasn't a stable profession, and my parents didn't want me to do that, so I went into medical research. And then when I came to America, I started the blog, because I was cooking for friends and exploring all these new cuisines in the country. And then what was exciting was having this new open market, so you could say, where I could share food through a blog. There were no barriers to my sharing what I wanted to talk about or photograph and share with the world or cook. And that opened up a lot of doors for me because I learned how to write, I learned that I needed to photograph, and I learned how to write a recipe through that process. And so that was the first stage for me. The second stage was when I moved to California, I decided to go to culinary school. But it's such a high-risk career, and I remember reading a story that David Lebowitz wrote on his blog. You know David, right? Because he's a famous pastry chef.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and David had written something on his blog about making the choice on going to culinary school, whether you should or you shouldn't, because it's such a risky choice to make. And I decided, well, I've gone and interviewed at a couple of schools. I don't want to take a loan. My husband, we were going to use my husband's military benefits, but unfortunately, by the time he left, those benefits did not extend to the spouse. Now they do, but at the time when he left, it wasn't a rule. And so I couldn't use that. And as luck would have turned out, I read David's thing and it said, why don't you go work in a shop first or a kitchen to see how you feel, whether you really like it, because it's one thing to be in culinary school, it's one thing to actually work in a kitchen. And so I went and worked in a kitchen, which was probably the best thing that I've done for myself. And that gave me, you know, the exposure to, in a very limited capacity, because I've only worked in one kitchen. But it was, I said, wow, this is what I really want to do. So I, you know, I said, okay, this is realistic for me. I will quit my job and move into this field. I also had the support of my husband, which was amazing. And I know a lot of people don't have that, but you know, it's nice to have that financial backing because it's not cheap, especially in California. And then, I did that for a year and a half and then we moved further north. So I quit the job, but then I got a job as a photographer because by then people had started to see my photography and, you know, one thing led to another, the call-in happened, and then the book happened, and since then I've been writing independently for other magazines and outlets, which has been exciting. But it takes time, at least in my case it took time, and I think it's okay sometimes to be patient and wait. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what cooking taught me, be patient.
Mm-hmm. So fascinating, and there are always many means to an end, and we're
right.
Glad that you've, yes, absolutely, and we're so glad that you've come to this point where, you know, food is the direction. We're going to be very interested in hearing more from you, Nick Sharma, on Thursday, October 11th at the Smithsonian Associates Program. What a great opportunity. Again, the book is Season Big Flavors, Beautiful Food by Nick Sharma. Nick Sharma, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm looking forward to being in D.C. next week.
Yeah, we'll look forward to seeing you. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Remember, best-selling author Nick Sharma will sit down with journalist Joe Yonan to talk about his new cookbook, Season, Big Flavors, Beautiful Food, October 11th, 2018, at the Ripley Center in Washington, D.C. Season, Big Flavors, Beautiful Food is available for signing after the program. And for all you foodies, small bites from Nick's cookbook will be provided after the event, prepared by Chef K.N. Vinod of Cleveland Park's Indique restaurant. Thanks to Nick Sharma for joining me today. And thanks to the wonderful Smithsonian team for all they do to support the show. The Not Old Better Show. Talk about better. Thanks, everybody.